Now hear the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the ninth chapter, verses 28 through 45.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in the glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish to Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus,
"Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make these dwellings one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah."
Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said,
"This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him."
When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found and alone. And they kept silent in those days, told no one any of the things that they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted,
"Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I beg your disciples to cast it out, but they would not. They could not.
Jesus answered,
"You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here."
While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded in the greatness of God. While everyone was amazed at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples,
"Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands."
But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was concealed from them, so that they could not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Hi, how's everybody this afternoon? Are you in a good mood? I hope so. Get ready, sit back. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit for a couple minutes. If you don't already know it, today is Valentine's Day. It's the day that when I just said it, you conjured up decorations of red hearts like this. Who could forget those candy conversation hearts with words on like, "Be mine," on them? And how about the ones that were bigger than this that Brock's used to make with the curvy edges on them? They were really fancy. Or you have experienced this, I'm sure. How about the rows and rows of pink and white and red Hallmark cards at the grocery store that you most likely stood in and picked out a card for that someone special in your life? So you see, Valentine's Day is that day for us to be thankful for love. In the 36th Psalm today that Bobby read, we found some references to love. In verse 5, there was, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens." In verse 7, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God." And in verse 10, there is, "O continue your steadfast love to those who know you." You see, God has steadfast love for us that is precious to us. In the gospel today, God's love is expressed to us by his revealing of himself to the disciples and us through the transfiguration, which we celebrate within the church today. Love is expressed through the healing of the demon-possessed boy, a boy that the disciples tried to cure, but could not. Jesus cured the boy by sending the demon packing. Jesus then gives the disciples and us a glimpse of what is yet to come when he said the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands. The disciples could not yet grasp what Jesus was saying, but we know that pain, suffering, and death and resurrection of Jesus on Easter Day was all done for us out of, yeah, you guessed it, love, steadfast love, to save us all from sin. This is the greatest love that there could ever be or will ever be in the history of humankind. Jesus loved us then, and Jesus loves us today. Throughout our lives, we have experienced, quote, human love. This is how we begin to understand what love is. But being that it's human love, it has flaws. Sometimes big ones within ourselves or flaws within other people whom we love or try to love. When we are, quote, in love with someone, we are thrilled beyond measure. We work very hard to have that special someone get to the point where they can say those three words to us, I love you. To have such an experience is paramount to our lives within society. And if you don't find that perfect love in your life, there is this sense of never fitting in, or that something is wrong with you personally. There is the love of having children. There is nothing like looking into the eyes of a child that through God, you were part of creating. But those children don't always turn out the way you thought they would. This human love can still leave way to disappointment, whether it is the parent or the child. There are flaws. After I said all of that, you're most likely wondering, why do I even try? This heartfelt love sometimes leads to heartache and even worse, heartbreak. I'm here to tell you today that, quote, human love, as big and wonderful as it feels, is small compared to the love of God. God has steadfast love for all of us. Steadfast, meaning it's firm, it's unwavering. Even the words in the dictionary cannot grasp the fullness of God's love. It's beyond description. It's beyond our reasoning capacity. So you say to me then, but Mandy, I've done so many things that were wrong. It can't be that God loves me still, can it? I'm here to tell you it can be. God's love is greater than the wrong that we do. So then you think, okay, so God loves me. I'm the other person in the relationship with God, right? I mean, I try to love God, but how? In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And you say, what? That's so legalistic, not to mention that the commandments are impossible to keep. How does that work? The answer is, we have to try every day. Just take a stab at one of them. Think about the two tablets of having a hinge in the middle of them. They are God's Valentine card to each and every one of us. Let's talk through them for a little bit. The first one is that we are to have no other gods. We are to love, trust, and fear God above all things. That's what Luther said. A good example is not to let money become our God. You can earn money. You can buy yourself anything you want. But that does not mean that God wasn't through all the talents that you were given to do what you're passionate about. The second commandment is about the use of God and how we use his name. Cursing and swearing are not professional, and they hurt your relationship with God. So keep your language clean. The third one is that we are to honor the day of rest, which is hard to do with one whole day in today's world of working and responsibility. But try to make time to hear the word of God. Hearing the gospel can be healing, strengthening, and helps you with a closer relationship to God. The fourth one is about honoring your parents. Maybe your parents have already passed. Maybe you are the parent now. Remind your children that they are to treat you with respect. And children, you know who you are. Pick up the phone and call home. The fifth commandment is to not kill. That's a no-brainer for this group, right? How about not harming the lives of others in any way? Help each other. Share the light of Christ. The sixth one is about adultery. Plain and simple. Don't do it. Get out of one relationship before you begin another. And don't go around ruining other people's relationships. The seventh one is not to steal. Again, you're thinking no-brainer, Mandy. How about you try to be honest and true to all whom you love in all your dealings with others and advocate for the rights of others who are being oppressed and marginalized in your sight? The eighth one is not to bear false witness against your neighbors, which means don't ruin the reputations of other people. Speak well of people, even if you don't like them. The ninth and 10th are about coveting the important people and things of others. Don't be envious or jealous of anyone else's possessions. Leave other people's property alone. Be glad for what you have. If you love God, try to keep the commandments. Yes, we are all slaves to sin, but the only way to get ourselves free is within our relationship with God. Now you're sitting there going, all 10? That's a bit much, Mandy. Can't you make it easier? Lent is knocking on the door and it's overwhelming. Okay, then, let's recall God's greatest gift of love, the best Valentine ever, Jesus. In the Gospel of John, where it is written that God so loved the world that he sent his only son to redeem the world from sin. Jesus speaks in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, describing the greatest commandment. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And it goes in this order, right? Love God. I'm going up and down here like the first part of the cross. Love God first. Experienced his steadfast love for you, then you'll be able to understand more fully how to love others. Just think of the cross. Our very being is all about being in relationship with God and each other. In closing, may God bless each of you this Valentine's Day, and may God be with you as we begin our Lenten journey this coming Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday. Amen.